Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. Love it. All right. So today we have a question from Byron. So let's listen in.
My question is, should a struggling church plant go back to quarantine phase if COVID has affected it in such a way where it has not grown? I pastor and lead a church plant that launched September of 2019 in Daytona Beach, Florida. We are in a unique area because we get to serve a high population of college students, a high population of senior citizens, and also the transient residents that are coming back and forth from the north and the visitors that come into town. We launched in September, only 4 or 5 months into us being fully launched and having Sunday morning worship services. COVID hit. We were already a little short staffed, and we didn't have the accurate amount of volunteers and team members that we needed, but we were making things happen. COVID-19, much like many other churches, exposed our weaknesses, and now we're in a position where we lost about half of our gathering for Sunday mornings, and online gatherings have not really been helpful for us. We're in a place where we have a solid group that's in the teens, maybe even in the 20s, and I'm considering whether we should go back to quarantine phase and start all over again. Give us your insight. We'd just love to know whether this may be the opportunity for many churches like ours to go back to core team and start from scratch.
All right. Well,
man,
that's it.
Okay. So I hate this because I want to be able to ask him questions. I want to say, do you have other staff? Or is it just you? And you know, what were those weaknesses that it revealed? It sounds like volunteer, you know, training and development and, you know, things like that. So all we can do is make a few assumptions based on what he said and kind of take it from there. What was your initial thought?
Yeah, no, you're right about asking a few more questions. It's interesting because I know the area. I mean, we've been on vacation in that area, and they're incredible beaches right in Daytona. And it's one of those areas where you're like, okay, so in light of, and then plus with COVID and everything, you know, we recognize Florida, and I'm sure Daytona is handling it differently than wherever else you're living. It's different, obviously, than where Edmonton and how Nashville's handling it too. So there's that notion of, okay, how do you be incredibly local? That would really be where I would want to start with. How can you be incredibly local? There's this, I mean, obviously COVID has disrupted everything. And even for churches that are regathering, I mean, no one's really, I mean, we're seeing 20 to 30% coming back at this moment. And it kind of goes up and down based on the number of cases and all of that. And it's just interesting because, you know, if I were to base the success of the church on a year over year trajectory, or even for you, Byron, you know, month over month trajectory, yeah, it would be like, what the heck is happening? This is not what I was dreaming about. And even if you were just to base it on the numbers, yeah, there's no comparison, right? And even if you were to restart again, you wouldn't really be able to go back there either. So honestly, my recommendation would be, whether you go back to core team phase or not, is to really focus on relationships and really focus on going smaller. And don't worry about month over month, and don't even worry about what it was back in September to December. Really look at it from a perspective of, hey, trajectory-wise, momentum-wise, since COVID hit, which direction are we going? over the last 8 weeks, which direction are we going? Are relationships growing deeper? Are people being discipled? Are we reaching the lost? Do we have a clear understanding of our identity as a church? And if that's the case, then just keep on going with it. Because whether you go back to core team or not, I don't think doing a ton of fanfare and doing a big relaunch and all that stuff is going to make a huge difference, because people are afraid. There's a lot of fear of, hey, well, I mean, if I were to go there, I don't know anyone there. It's all strangers. Who knows if they've been in contact. Whereas I found that if people are in relationship with one another, they're more likely to gather because they know who each other has been with, and there's a greater measure of trust. So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
I mean, okay, so I like what you said about going small, because he's already there. Mm-hmm. It's just the question of what he does. I mean, odds are, I also like what you said about local. Odds are he's not a local. And so one of the things that he needs to be able to do is show, if he wants to reach locals, and he's not one, is to show an amazing amount of insight and understanding of what it is to be a local there. And remember that to focus on the people aspect, because the people are going to be, you know, stickier than your Sunday morning service anyway. So in some ways, I would say, man, you are relaunching your core team. And what did you learn from your mistakes? Yeah. Because the mistake wasn't that COVID happened. As he pointed out, COVID just revealed his mistakes. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Well, that likely means shoring up and deepening the people. And that doesn't mean, you know, some program necessarily or anything like that, because I don't know how many people he has that, and what phases that they're in being able to lead, you know, other people. So it's coming back and recasting the vision of, you know, we're a culture of disciples who are making disciples. And right now it may be him and two other people that are able to do that at some, at least nominal level. But what he's got to do is, man, I think double down on that. One of the main issues I'm seeing as I'm meeting with pastors, I met with four different groups of like a dozen pastors or so in the last 2 weeks, usually for about 3 hours. And we've walked through, in some cases, I did that course on rapid recruiting, but the big thing right now is the agile leadership piece. And part of what's happened is people started out in COVID, and somebody somewhere decided that they were going to announce to the world that, you know, they were going to use this time to disciple their people and go deeper. And everybody picked up on that. And a lot of people parroted that to their church. But then they didn't actually carry it out. They didn't have a vision for what that looked like. They didn't have a strategy for what that looked like. They didn't then follow that up with plans, an actionable, executable plan to do so. And so you gave lip service to that, and now your people are no better off than they were when this started. In fact, a lot of your people have, well, basically wandered off. Either they're watching somebody else's service, or they're really enjoying their Sunday mornings, or whatever. You have an opportunity to have a very, very strong ground game right now. And your church needs to be doing a lot in between Sundays in smaller groups. And so for you, that may mean, hey, we're going to take this 20 to 30 and bust them up into three groups. If I've got two guys that are capable of doing that, I'm going to meet with those two guys and maybe a couple other guys that I think have some strong potential. But, you know, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to and I'm really going to invest in these people. But more than anything, I'm going to take this time to adjust the culture that we have in our church. Because even though you're, you know, a year old and half of that year, over half that year has been during COVID, you have a culture, whether you realize it or not. It's time to exegete that culture and weed out the things that are not there and replant the things that you wanted there from the beginning.
Yeah,
so I would say you have a real opportunity for a discipleship and development culture and reestablishing that.
No, I love that. I love that. I mean, I'm reminded of the 80-20 principle. And if you haven't read that book, it'd be a great one to look at right now, because really you got to look at, hey, what is the 20% that is going to give us 80% results? And honestly, I would completely ignore all the visitors and all the travelers, because if they are connected, if they're serious about their discipleship, then they are on a weekend, they're probably going to either do like a home church or they'll tune into their local church because everyone is online. I know for us, when we would go to Daytona or Destin or wherever on vacation, if it was a Sunday, we would go find a local church. I would look it up and we would go. I wouldn't do that anymore. We would just tune into our local church. So I would honestly just completely forget about the visitors and all of that and figure out, okay, during the season, how can we be incarnational? How can we be missional? How can we be present and local to those who are living here? And maybe that means ditching your online stream completely. I know that kind of sounds crazy, but perhaps during this next season, you actually have this thing where you're like, hey, we're going to do a, you know, several family meetings as a church. And perhaps you want to do that on Sunday. And perhaps you want to say for this next season, because it's taking this many hours and this much energy, and we're putting all this energy toward online and it's taking up all these hours that really we could, what if we were to actually redirect all of that to discipling and to being incarnational in this neighborhood and discipling and multiplying ourselves? What if we actually redirected all of that to that and then just had a basic in-person gathering over the next 3 months, over the next 6 months, right? And you just foregoed your online. What if you did that and you said, hey, the only way that you can be a part of our church over this next season is being in person? Well, if you're like, man, that sounds crazy, but that actually makes a lot of sense, because so much energy is going to the weekend and hardly anyone is tuning in online, then yes, you are going to upset people, and you're going to get, and this is why you got to bring it to prayer, right? Because you're going to get the 1, 2, 3 people who are like, if you do that, I'm going to leave the church and this. And that's why before you even announce anything like that, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do so, you need to shepherd your people toward that and help them understand why you're doing what you're doing, and say it's not permanent, it's just for this next season. Honestly, I'm not saying that that's what you got to do, but it's one of those ideas where it's like, hey, with the 80-20 principle, what if?
And I think that's really, really sage advice for him during this time. There's so much energy that could be going elsewhere. And for some of those people who may legitimately say, well, you know, I can't come because of this or that, then you still take care of that person. Either you do that and, you know, meet with that person biweekly or weekly, or check in on them, you know, making sure that they feel loved and connected in some way. You know, or you obviously develop somebody else for that task or delegate somebody else to that task. But the real thing is too, I mean, just remember that you can, while you're not streaming your service or connecting with them, you know, digitally in that way, you can definitely do so one-on-one or even in a group setting. If they can't come to the, you know, one of the groups you create or whatever, there's still ways to
or go like incredibly MVP, right? Minimum viable product, and grab your smartphone, buy like a shotgun mic just to go into your iPhone, set up a tripod and just have it where, hey, don't even put that like publicly, just put it on your Facebook. Like, don't even put it on your Facebook page, put it on a Facebook group page that you have to be a part of the group to watch. And then you're like, well, yeah, I know the quality is going to be subpar, but you know, you've shepherded your church and you're like, yeah, we're family. I want to be connected, but because of COVID or this or that, I can't join. Then, hey, here's a stream. I know it's not going to be great quality. The shotgun mic is going to help tremendously than just your iPhone mic. But honestly, just with that, because you're ministering to your church family, they're going to be like, oh yeah, this is great. It allows me to stay connected. And honestly, it requires no work. Right? No camera person, nothing, just a tripod, an iPhone, and that. And I mean, that's just think MVP during this moment. And don't think that this is like forever, because honestly, you cannot compete. And I hate saying compete, but you cannot compete against every other church on there who has million dollar budgets, massive staff, and are putting their services online. Like this. So don't even worry about that. Just be local in your place. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for listening into today's episode, Byron. We do hope that helps. Hey, if you have a question like Byron's or on anything else regarding church planting, multi-site leadership, ministry, just send that in. We would love to hear from you. And Byron, loved your question and your context. So thanks so much for that. If you have follow-up questions, feel free to send that in too. You can just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on a mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, speakpipe.com/newchurches, and send that in. And we would love to answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.